From the darkest corners of the creepy old house down the street, to the screams in the night. Settle in, parafamily, to join with Whitney and Brandon for another spooky episode of the Parunity Podcast.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Parunity Podcast tonight. Whitney, what's up?
What's up, Brandon? Happy spring. Happy spring, everybody.
Happy spring.
And, yep, wherever you may be in the Northern Hemisphere. And I hope that you guys are all having temperatures that are not in the 30s. With flowering trees growing and blooming at the same time.
Thank you, Mother Nature. In the 50s for once. So, Ooh. Yes, Iowa. Hey, I want to give a shout out quick before we get started.
Sure.
To my teenager, to Gabe. So, this weekend coming up, they are doing their last robotics regional competition in Iowa here. They are pumped and primed and ready. That robot is jacked. It is going to win, and they're going to go to Worlds.
Woo!
Go Linmar Iron Lions.
Go Iron Lions. Good job, guys. Good luck, Gabe, and to the rest of your team.
A battle flag to wave into battle. I've gotten communication with the parents, so we have a cheer section, and I have a daycare creating signs to wave.
Aw, man.
We are going to light it up in Cedar Falls.
Sounds like it.
Just saying. So if anybody is in the Waterloo Cedar Falls area this weekend, come root Gabe and the Iron Lions on as they take the regional competition.
Woot. Good luck to you guys. That's awesome.
Pay me later for your promo.
And I want to do a shout out to if anybody is in the Richmond, Virginia area this weekend, March 24th through the 26th. It is GalaxyCon. It is a comic convention. They have celebrity guests. They have panels. They have dealer rooms. They have gaming. They have all of it. And I'm going to be there just kind of hanging out and maybe running a Dungeons and Dragons game with my group Goblins and Growlers. But you can also see our soon-to-be friends of the show, the Haunts of Richmond. They are going to be doing some panels, and it's going to be a blast. So GalaxyCon, Richmond.
Word.
Yeah. Word. I'm also just recovering from a big professional museum conference where I presented on Dungeons and Dragons and museums. I know.
You're telling me about it. It's awesome.
It went so well. I was so happy.
All right, let's bring us back on topic.
Yeah, we have some wonderful people.
Yes, we do. Because so tonight we have the Ladies of Ghoul Trip podcast. So as you said, the fun fact is they live lives very similar to ours.
They do.
Jenna and Ivy live in Virginia and Missouri, respectively. So they understand this crazy East Coast, Midwest time difference thing like we do.
Yep, they sure do.
You were saying you think it'd be funny to have me try and cover the topics about Virginia, since I know enough about Virginia to maybe talk to you for 5 minutes.
Consider it cross-cultural training.
Okay.
That was so bad, I know.
Hannah is from Fredericksburg, which is located about 48 miles south of Washington, D.C. and 53 miles north of Richmond. So as of the 2020 census, the population of Fredericksburg was about 27,982 people. It's a hot spot for tourism with over 1.5 million people visiting the area every year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, I love that little bloop. All right. So it's a significant commuter area for people working in DC. There are several major employers in Fredericksburg, including Geico. Fredericksburg is also the location for the University of Mary Washington and Central Park, the second largest mall on the East Coast as of 2004. Man, I actually sound like I know what I'm talking about tonight.
You're doing great. Keep going. Keep going.
There's some big words in this next section, though.
All right. All right. I'll help you. Don't worry. You got this.
So during the colonial period. Thank you. Fredericksburg was a prominent port on the Rappahannock River before.
That is not.
The Rappahannock. I changed the name. It is my river now.
Okay.
The Rappahannock River. Mm-hmm. European contact, the area was home to the Manahoac. Yep, I'm even going to try to pronounce that as closely.
Siouan.
Huh?
Siouan.
The Siouan?
Sioux. Yeah.
How do you, oh, Sioux.
Siouan language. Yeah, it's the Siouan language.
So it's the Siouan language speaking tribe closely related to the Monacan Nation.
Woo.
Look at me. The Manahoac mostly likely were a confederation region of Virginia. It is believed that through archaeological study that the ancestors of the Manahoac and other Siouan Virginia tribes left behind significantly sized earthen burial grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk.
Mounds.
Mounds.
Yeah. No. It's not a feel like you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't thing.
I feel like a nut all the time.
I know you do. So do I.
All right. So these mounds were described as being 20 feet high and contained thousands of corpses.
Yep.
Unfortunately, many of these mounds were completely destroyed by plowing or diminished in size from erosion and flooding. So as for the Manahoac themselves, their numbers diminished because of disease brought by the Europeans and raids and wars between the Europeans and other tribes throughout the 1600s. So they disappeared from the historical record after 1728.
But they are closely related to a bunch of similar language-speaking tribes in the area, including the Monacan Nation, which are still very present and very active today.
You realize, like, anybody that's still associated with those tribes is literally going to be cursing me after this episode.
No, they won't.
Mm-hmm. So anyways.
It's the effort.
1714. Governor Alexander Spotswood of Virginia sponsored a German settlement called Germana, right? Germana?
Yes.
And he started exploring west of the future city towards the Blue Ridge Mountains as early as 1716. Spotsylvania County was established in 1720, with Fredericksburg being named as a port in 1728, later receiving its city charter in 1871. So Fredericksburg is known for many prominent individuals during the colonial and revolutionary period. George Washington and his family moved to Ferry's Farm in 1738, mm-hmm. and later his mother Mary lived in the city proper. So his sister later married Fielding Lewis, and they lived in Kenmore Plantation within the city. Isn't that still standing?
Yes.
Say, I've heard of that place.
Yes, it's beautiful.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I've seen mm-hmm. pictures of it, and I've heard people talk about it.
Yep. Yep.
Fredericksburg is also home of Generals Hugh Mercer and George Whedon, naval hero John Paul Jones, and future President James Monroe. So the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom was also written here.
Very good.
Thank you. So during the 19th century, the railroad industry became to Fredericksburg. And during the Civil War, Fredericksburg was a strategic location between both capitals of the United States and the Confederacy. And it was a place where as many as 10,000 enslaved individuals chose to self-liberate and seek their freedom. So additionally, Fredericksburg was the site of two major battles in 1862 and in 1863. Mm-hmm. Both of these battlefields are preserved as a Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park.
And there were also a bunch of other battles in the same general region at the same time.
That is one thing I am super jealous of you about. So where I'm from, we don't fight wars. I mean, we had a little bit of stuff going on with like the Indians and the settlers and stuff, but nothing like major like you guys had with the Civil War and the Revolutionary and everything like that. You guys got a lot of more history than we do.
I mean, I think you'll find that you probably have more history than you think. It's just a different.
Well, I mean, we do. We had an entire college that almost completely shut down. So the people went and fought in the Civil War. But
yeah,
I mean, we were kind of like an assistant thing when you guys were like the show. So
Well, we'll see what you, we'll see if you can change your mind when we talk about Missouri. But in the meantime, how about some haunted locations in Fredericksburg? Because I know there's some stuff there.
Okay, well, the first one then is the Kenmore Plantation, the home of George Washington's sister, Betty Washington Lewis, and her husband, Fielding Lewis. So Kenmore was built in 1752, and the apparition is said to be of Colonel Fielding Lewis.
It's a common thing.
I got, geez, quit making this difficult on me. I need to get like a teleprompter. He appears in his American Revolution uniform, paces around, and pores over documents. Visitors can hear his footsteps as well as witness doorknobs turning by themselves. Very interesting. I had that happen at a place I investigated once. It was creepy, especially when the door opened. But Deep Creek Vintage is another place that we'll talk about. It's an antique and collectible shop where they offer crafting and other creative workshops.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a plantation dating from 1750.
Yep.
So apparently the spirits here are quite interactive. Okay, so I'm stopping right here because the only thing I can picture in my head is the movie Ghost. Like, yeah, the ghost reaching around and helping with the pottery.
Oh, my love.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's cool, though.
Do they do that there? I'm going to ask Hannah. Maybe she's been there.
Maybe. Although, why don't you tell us what kind of activity they do have?
Well, the activity here ranges from footsteps, knocking, soft talking, and singing. And people being touched. See?
There you go.
Particularly women with long hair.
Yep.
Well, I'm out on two parts of that.
I might be in.
There you go. Do you want to make some pottery with a ghost there, Whitney?
I'm married.
whatever. So the staff.
I love you, Chris.
The staff and proprietor do occasionally open their shop for paranormal investigations after store hours, and the spirits apparently make contact through knocking and EVPs.
Now, let me just put a caveat on here. We do put a lot of locations when we do our introductions, but please always, folks, this is Mama Whitney moment. Ask permission before you go to these sites. Don't just show up and be like, hey, I want to investigate. Actually do your research and make sure that it is appropriate for you to do so. And for God's sakes, don't go through abandoned areas and investigate. Okay, I'm done. And on that happy note, why don't we go to your neck of the woods and go to Kansas City, Missouri.
But do it in a Midwestern accent.
So in other words, I should just have a simple, flat voice.
Careful how you do this. Careful.
Don't even.
We have listeners there. Shh.
Okay. Do you want me to do it to my British accent?
No, please don't. Just
maybe I should do it to my French accent.
No, just do your Whitney accent.
Okay, fine. So Ivy, the other half of Ghouls Trip Podcast, hails from Kansas City, Missouri, which is located at the confluence of the Kansas and Missouri rivers. The city itself was formally incorporated in 1853. Before European settlers arrived, the site of Kansas City was the home of various tribes and traditions, including the Hopewell and Mississippian cultures, the Kansa, the Oto, the Osage, and the Missouri tribes. Etienne de Vignard, Sieur de Bourgmont, was the first documented European, from France, guys, to explore the lower Missouri River. Documents he wrote during 1713 and 1714 described the area in such a way that it assisted French cartographers in creating a fairly accurate map of the area, because this was part of the Louisiana Territory. Which actually, when the Spanish took hold of it after the Treaty of Paris, the French continued their fur trade throughout the 18th century in this area. After the Louisiana Purchase of 1803, Lewis and Clark noted about the attractiveness of this whole area being at the confluence of rivers, making this site a very, very attractive area for people to want to settle. In 1831, a group of Mormons from New York settled in what would become Kansas City and they built a school. However, they were driven out by mob violence, and from what I've heard, their settlement remains abandoned today. The 1850s were punctuated by a series of political and physical battles over whether to admit the new state of Kansas as a slave state or as a free state. According to the Kansas Historical Society, the period of quote-unquote bleeding Kansas resulted in at least 56 documented political killings resulting from electoral fraud, raids, assaults, and murders. There do think it could be more, as many as 200 killings that are just not documented. And for anybody that wants to learn more about that, we will put some notes and sites in the show notes. But today, Kansas City is the largest city in Missouri with 508,090 people as of the 2020 census. It's the home for your sports fans. It's the home of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. It's a major center during the 1920s for the Orpheum vaudeville circuit, which I think that was, I remember the musical Gypsy, the burlesque stripper. This yep. was what she and her family performed on in before she became Gypsy Rose Lee. Right. And also, for those of you who like to eat food, the Kansas City strip steak is.
And Kansas City barbecue, which yep. is the best.
There's that. Mind. I will not.
Good, because you will not.
I'm not even going to argue, but I am going to tell you about some haunted locations. So one of them is called the Hotel Savoy. No, it's not the one in England. This one was opened in 1888, and the people who stay or work there have found that some of their contemporaries never wanted to check out. They're said to be in room 505, the ghost of a woman named Betsy Ward, who is said to have died in that room. Unfortunately, I didn't see a date, but she apparently likes to play music in that room and open and close doors and mess around with the bathroom faucets. Now, that would freak me out. You said it was freaky watching a door open and open and everything. Oh, yeah. And a doorknob. Well, a faucet kind of freaks me out, too.
Me, especially too, because the water bill.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, there's that. On the fourth floor of the Hotel Savoy, it is said to be haunted by the ghost of a little girl in Victorian clothing, and also a man who used to live there when the fourth floor was just apartments. There's also another house. It's called the John Warnell House. It is one of the oldest houses in Kansas City, and it is full of ghostly activity. So inside the house, there are reports of smells of pipe smoke, and there's also voices and orbs. They even have seen the apparition of a woman who's kind of bent over in front of a fireplace. Now, apparently, there's a lot of action outside the house, too. There have been Civil War soldiers sighted, so take that. There is Civil War history in the Midwest.
I yes. meant in Iowa.
Okay, there you go. But you've got Field of Dreams.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's a good movie. But anyway, back to the John Warnell House. The neighbors outside of the house, outside, they have actually seen spirits walking around, and then they see them vanish into thin air. It's actually to the point where some of the neighbors do put up protective signs on their houses, like crosses and things.
Really?
Yes.
That worked but, great with our stalker conversation before the show started.
And we will, and on that happy note, let's go ahead and bring in two ladies that know something about probably being stalked as well. Let's go ahead and bring in Hannah Kathleen and Ivy Boyd, the hosts of the Ghouls Trip podcast. Parafamily, let's give them a warm welcome.
Thank you. I'm really glad that our intro to this was, here's two stalkers.
Yeah, no, here's two stalkers.
Hashtag. Hashtag.
Before we start anything, segues in our show.
You do. And before we start anything, I just have to say, yes, Kansas City has the best barbecue sauce, because every time Ivy mails me something, she always includes a new barbecue sauce for me to try. So I can attest this is true.
Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Ivy, we need to start being friends more.
I will be everyone's Kansas City barbecue sauce supplier.
You're like the dealer.
Exactly. I'll be your dealer of barbecue sauce.
It's very similar to crack. So, I mean, that works very well.
Yeah, yeah.
It does.
All right. Well, I cannot wait.
Let's get this crack in here. So,
already has Rappin' Hawk.
Rappin' Hawk.
The Rappin' Hawk. I was cracking up when you said that. I was like, no, Rappahannock.
He tried. We got to give it to him, Hannah.
Well, now I'm going to refer to it as the Rappin' Hawk because that sounds a lot cooler. So
it does sound cooler.
The Rappin' Hawk River.
Oh, God.
You guys should know that I do all my scripts in crayon. So
he does.
Oh, me too. Me too. We're gonna get along just fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ladies, what got you into the paranormal?
Oh, Hannah, do you want to go first? I'll go first. So I grew up in a house that as kids we firmly believed was haunted, and as an adult, I still firmly believe is haunted. And I always had a big interest in the paranormal. I grew up watching shows like Ghost Hunters and A Haunting. And, you know, I'd watch Ghost Hunters and I'd see them do burst EVP sessions. And I remember I had this little toy voice recorder. And as a child in elementary school, I would do my own mock like EVP sessions in our house that I thought was haunted. But I do it in secret because I was kind of embarrassed to do it.
Your parents were probably like, oh, there she goes again.
It was not a phase. There it is. And then, gosh, it was about... So I've always had this interest in the paranormal and paranormal subjects, learning about local haunted places. And then it was about 7 years ago, I went on my first, like, quote-unquote, real ghost hunt that was being hosted by a group of actual ghost hunters. And I haven't stopped since.
Hey!
Very nice.
Hannah, your turn.
Well, how did I get into this? So when I was younger, a bunch of weird stuff would always happen, from unexplainable things, and I would see kind of shadow figures when I was a kid, and I was like, what's going on? And my parents didn't believe me. They were like, Hannah, go back to bed. There's nothing wrong with you. And I was just like, there's something wrong with me. But turns out, this is happening to other people. So I started watching like all the ghosts, like the Haunting, Unexplained Mysteries. And then lo and behold, Ghost Adventures really opened my eyes to it. Thank you, Zach. But after that, I started investigating by myself. And then about 2020, when the pandemic hit, that's when I met Ivy online on her old podcast. So I was like, oh my God, we can make something from this. And then I joined Transcend Paranormal in 2021 or 2022.
I want to say it was late 2021, early 2022. Mm-hmm.
That sounds right. Around then.
So we're based in the Richmond area and we do public investigations and private. So now I've just been like thrown into it and we travel a lot. And I also travel solo. And also Ivy and I travel just all over to look for a ghost and be creepy, all that fun stuff.
You guys actually get out there on the road. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So what is the basic premise behind Ghouls Trip Podcast?
Well, it started as a blog. Mm-hmm. And like Hannah said, we met in 2020 and Hannah was like, you know, I'd kind of like to have a like paranormal blog. And it was like, what if we do this together? Hey! And we went with Ghouls Trip as a play on, you know, like a girl's trip. And I think like our idea in the beginning was like, oh man, yeah, it's 2020. Once this pandemic is over soon, we're going to go travel. Obviously it didn't end soon, but we kept up with the blog covering haunted places. And then I had quit podcasting for a little bit and Hannah was like, oh, it'd be really cool to do a paranormal podcast. And I was like, I know how to do podcasting.
And I was like, I don't.
And so we decided, you know what, let's turn the blog into a podcast. And here we are today.
Hey.
So pretty much we're just two ghouls writing about and talking about haunted locations or any weird oddities or cryptids or anything creepy that passes our mind.
Anything paranormal.
Anything paranormal, yes. Anything ghoulish. But we try to debunk things because there's a lot of fake stuff out there. Like 90% of paranormal stuff is just BS. So we like to call it out and be like, this is BS. And also we just blab for like an hour and people listen to us. They like to listen to us blab. So that is Ghoul's Trip in a nutshell.
Well, yeah, that's like our listeners. They tune in to listen to Whitney drop the knowledge and then me be a dipshit. So
that's literally us. No, it's the same thing. Ivy and I both can't pronounce things, so it's just a mess. We're just like Googling how to pronounce things. We sound stupid, and then we Google it, and then together we have one brain cell.
Right now, we really do. And that one brain cell struggles.
It does daily.
Well, I want to know what has been your favorite topic that you guys have covered.
Ooh. I like I have an answer. Hannah, you go first.
I have one too. Okay. So this is, so usually on our episode premises, one of us will cover and the other will commentate and so on and so forth. So the favorite one that we did was when Ivy did Bat Boy. That was so funny. Like, not even like creepy. It was just ridiculous because you know, Bat Boy, like the tabloid thing from like 2005.
The weekly world news. Bat Boy.
Right. That's like, it was just perfect, like, ridiculous content.
That's awesome.
So we're just talking about that. And the thing that was my favorite was it was just ridiculous. Bat Boy, like, was in every military branch. He, like, stole cars. He married J-Lo and Britney Spears. It was just a mess.
What did he say? He said, like, a, like, oh, Britney, pretty
Britney
girl.
Feed me. She feed me
candy.
Oh, it was so funny. So, like, that one was my favorite just because how stupid and ridiculous it was.
That is awesome.
Ivy, I hope you're more, like, intelligent and, like...
Oh, I was going to say, I really like when we discuss subjects around the Warrens and Satanic Panic, so...
See, you're just more intellectual.
That's a little deeper, I suppose, than Bat Boy.
That's my childhood. That's my childhood, man.
I will say, those topics, we really get in-depth, and we did a whole series on the Warrens, and we did a whole series on, like, Satanic Panic, too, because those were so prevalent
Warren
back in, like, the 80s.
Our Warren series is still, those four episodes are our most listened to episodes.
Mm-hmm. And they're the reason we've been viral on TikTok because of those episodes. So it was a little scary, but kind of cool.
I know, because the Warren fans were really coming after us, but it was fun.
Yeah, they were.
We had fun. Yeah.
It was a good time. Bat Boy protected us. It's fine.
Bat Boy swept in.
Swooped in.
He stole a car. He saved us.
Yep.
He called us pretty girls and he left.
There you go.
Just give him chips.
Yep.
Or some of that Kansas City barbecue.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
That's too good for barbecue.
Although one thing I love about Fredericksburg is a slice of Benny's pizza.
Oh, yeah, Benny's pizza. Oh, $4 for a slice as big as your head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't feel bad. We had an episode on the show that still chases us around. That it was about the Black Eyed Kids.
I remember this. I listened to that.
It was right before Whitney joined, and I had some people on, and we were talking about Black Eyed Kids, and we were sharing stories and stuff, and we were talking about one of the stories that we had found had to do with elderly Black Eyed people, and so of course, where my mind goes is Black-Eyed Betty White.
I stand.
And that still follows us around. Black-Eyed Betty White. We actually sold shirts for a little while.
Black-Eyed Betty White.
Black-Eyed Betty
White. Yes. I love Betty White.
That would be terrifying.
As a Black-Eyed Kid.
R.I.P. Betty White.
Oh, R.I.P. Betty White. I love her.
R.I.P.
B.E.K. Betty White. It's a beautiful thing and horribly terrifying at the exact same time.
I still thought one of the funniest things I remember doing with you, Brandon, was when we did our Urban Legends episode last Halloween, and you gloried me with the tale of the Fresno Nightcrawler.
Oh.
And I thought it was the... I was like, it's so cute.
Yeah, they're so cute. It's like a pair of pants walking around.
Little haunted pants.
Fuzzy hot pants.
Yeah, we did an episode on that, but the whole time we're like, they're so cute. Oh my God. So
little sentient trousers.
Yeah.
With little eyes up at the, they're like, I'm
I'm sorry.
Understandable. It's cute.
We get it. We get it.
Yeah, we get it.
That was me making those sounds during the episode.
He did. It just heightened the mood. I'm like, Brandon, you're making them cute. They're supposed to be frightening, but they're not. They're adorable.
They're not frightening at all.
There was some like I don't know how like official it was, but some like cryptid organization had like officially deemed them as being a peaceful cryptid, a harmless, peaceful being. Well, if that helps.
Literally, yes. What are they going to do to you? They're legs.
They're going to walk all over you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. They just need boots. Have a backbone. They'll walk all over you.
They need boots that are made for walking.
No, you know what somebody needs to do is somebody out there, and I don't care who it is, but you need to post it on our page.
Yes.
And you can post it on these ladies' page too. I want you to take pictures and videos of you putting those creatures dancing to Apple Bottom Jeans.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Someone that knows like CGI computer stuff, make this happen.
You mean Low?
If there's the name a puppeteer,
the song is Low.
That would be good. Is it?
The name
I call
of the
it
song,
Apple Bottom Jeans.
Yes, because it's the, but the name of the song
boots,
is
boots
Low.
The fur. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And make but sure the Airhole Club is looking at her.
Did you say, so they're part of like the peaceful cryptid? Is that what it's called?
They were like deemed as being like a peaceful, like harmless cryptid. Cause like there's like cryptids like Mothman, who it's like Mothman might have eaten a dog and he'll try and kill you. But then there's like the Fresno Nightcrawler who like hasn't hurt anybody. So,
you know, I was gonna say, aren't all cryptids like that until you mess with them? But then I forgot Mothman's unhinged and just does whatever he wants. So never mind on that one.
Yeah. Well, he's the harbinger of death.
Yeah.
He lets you know it's coming.
He's nice quite a man.
He can't really roll up in there and be like, hey, let's go get some barbecue.
He could.
Oh, hey, by the way, you might die later.
What about the Jersey
you get
Devil?
Barbecue?
True.
Oh, we covered the Jersey Devil recently.
I'm sure
why?
He loves barbecue.
You don't like the Jersey Devil?
Let me tell you why. I hate New Jersey.
Oh, sorry, Jersey.
I hate New Jersey. That state is just awful.
They actually have a burger you can eat that's a haunted burger in a haunted restaurant. And
for
it'll
real?
Give you, it like it's a heart attack burger. We covered it with
Mustafa. Oh yeah, that damn thing.
It's this
in Jersey.
Huge, nasty,
I'm so mad
burger.
About that.
Why are you mad?
Because it's a heart attack burger.
It's a heart attack burger that you can sit in a chair that a person died in the restaurant eating that freaking burger.
Oh yeah,
what a romantic date you could take someone on. Like, hey babe, do you want to go to this burger place? Sit in that chair right there. Someone died there.
Yeah, sit in that chair. Hey, eat this burger.
Eats a burger right now.
So speaking of haunted eateries and places like that, let's go. How's this for a segue? Give us your top, each one of you, your top favorite haunted location to talk about on the show. I think I know what Hannah's is, but I'm not going to guess.
She's thinking. Like anything we've ever covered?
Anything you've ever covered. Or... Yeah, anything you've ever covered.
I gotta think. Ivy, you go first. I'm thinking really hard.
Oh, my favorite steam coming out. My favorite haunted place to educate people on forever and always is the freaking Sally House in Atchison, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
I love to talk about the Sally House because there's so it's super haunted. My favorite haunted location I've been to, but there's also so many lies out there about it, and I love being able to like share some truth as someone who's a local, sort of local. Atchison's a little ways away from me, but not too far, and I've been there a handful of times. So the Sally House for sure.
Cool. I actually haven't heard
deep thought
too. Okay.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, talk about the Sally House more. It's very Ivy has a whole bunch of stuff on it.
We'll go back to that. Let's get to you, Hannah, because you have been thinking. Your brain has been smoking. Come on, girl.
It has.
I know you got it.
Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what you were thinking, Whitney?
I was thinking something with an S, yes. But I
or
maybe
Saint
not
necessarily. St. Albans Sanitarium?
Yeah, I was thinking St. Albans.
Yeah. That was like an
close second. I really like St. Albans.
Fair. That's your sweet spot.
I know.
It's a really cool place. I mean, like, obviously everyone knows, like, Salem, but St. Albans Sanatorium is probably my second because that place, every time it's I go special. There, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's special.
And, it is. And it has a really unfortunate past because it was used – it's a sanitarium, and before that it was like an all-boys school, and there was a lot of bad stuff that happened in the school, and obviously bad things happen with mentally ill patients, unfortunately. And today they preserve it. Everything's the original as it was, and they hold a convention. I think it's in April. It's called Enigma Cons, where we do like a public investigation, because like Transcend, we go, and I look forward to it every year. It's a blast, and also just going there is just very, I don't know, serene. It's, you know, Ivy, we talked about it a lot. And then, yeah, Whitney, you know, because you've been too. So
I've been twice. Yeah. That place makes me feel, I feel safe there. I don't know why everybody is so freaked out. I've been told this by Pat O'Keefe, who's of the Sisterhood of Magic and Wonders, has been on our show. Love you, Pat. She told me once that St. Albans will show you if she loves you or hates you.
Oh, that makes sense. I actually, when we did St. Albans, that was like the third episode when we first started doing our podcast. And this is before I knew Pat, and I was referencing her book the entire time. And I was like, this author's great. She has a great book. And then I met her in person. And I was like, oh my God. And then we became friends. And I was like, this was meant to be. Thank you, St. Albans.
Thank you, St. Albans. Yeah. So Ivy, now that you know our kryptonite, tell us about Sally House. What are some things that you want? What is one particular thing you want people to know about the Sally House that you don't think anybody really knows?
Okay, so before I get into like a little bit of the history, my favorite fun fact about the Sally House has to do with when Ghost Adventures went there.
So shout out again to Zach Bagans.
So in that episode, they're in the basement with it's Zach Bagans and Tony Pittman is there. He is someone relating to their original story who felt that he was being harassed by the spirit of a little girl named Sally.
Yep.
They're in the basement and his back is to this wall behind him. And all of a sudden he gets, as they say, scratched by the spirit of Sally. And these welts appear on his neck. In reality, the night before Ghost Adventures was there, a team of local investigators that I knew actually had to go chemically treat a hornet nest that's in a crack in the wall right by where he was standing. He got stung by those hornets.
And that's awful.
And they played it off as getting scratched by Sally. And that whole episode, Zach is like so dramatic. He's like, he tries to go up the stairs to the second floor, but like the powerful evil forces are keeping him back.
And pushes him down. Yeah.
Like there's black mold in the house. That's pretty scary. But like you walk in there and it's like a dusty, musty old house that's like still haunted, but he was so dramatic about it. And I love sharing the hornet story. And I'm like, next time you watch that episode, it was a hornet sting. And when you go back and look, it looks like a big welt. And he's right in front of the crack where the hornet nest is.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, is there like, I'd be wondering if he has a history of being allergic to bee stings or something like that.
Who knows?
But getting stung by a hornet is not fun. I've had that happen. My dad actually, I was 10 years old when that happened to me. And my dad basically just grabbed a big ass wad of chewing tobacco and slapped it on my wrist because I had welted up. But you should have seen the poor kid that stepped in the ground hornet nest and caused them to come running around.
That sounds awful.
See, these types of things to me, like this is the scariest, most dangerous part about the Sally House is like the hornets and black mold. You're not going to get killed by an entity in there. I promise.
Are you sure?
Watch out for these.
Are you positive? What if Sally stings me like she stung Zach?
She stings like a bee.
Yeah. Oh,
like a hornet.
Speaking of
No. Look at Brandon. Sorry, Brandon.
Yep.
Anyway. You were saying about Sally.
Yeah, how do I like segue back into this? So the story of the Sally House, as they tell it on the Atchison website and at the museum and how most places tell it, unfortunately. So Tony and Deborah Pittman are getting haunted in this house. And he sees, you know, Tony sees this apparition of a little girl. It was some television program. Haunting in the, yeah, Haunting in the Heartland or something.
Yeah, they sightings.
Sightings.
I saw that. I remember. Yep. I saw the original.
Yep. So they bring a psychic into the house, and he weaves this story of this little girl named Sally who died from a botched appendicitis surgery. And people also try to source this headstone in a local cemetery that mm-hmm. says Sally. They try to say this is her grave.
Nope.
That Sally that's buried mm-hmm. there was like a grown woman who had had kids. It's not this little girl named Sally. That whole element of the story completely debunked. No evidence of a little girl with that name even living in or around Atchison at that time.
Correct.
Still very haunted. Tony and Deborah might have been experiencing some kind of haunting. Something people don't often share about Tony, unless you read some of the books and stuff about the Sally House, because it's a little bit graphic, has to do with animal abuse, so trigger warning.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
One morning, he's in the house, fixes a bowl of cereal, and a stray cat had come inside and was, like, licking from the bowl. He killed the cat.
Yeah.
And then he sat there and just finished his cereal, and so I feel like that's an element we need to explore about the origin of the Sally House haunting. Like, what was up with this guy's mental health? Like, was he okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what makes the house so haunted. I just feel like it might just be all this attention. We have all these people traveling there. Mm-hmm. Almost every single mm-hmm. night, there's people staying the night at the Sally House nowadays. So who knows mm-hmm. what's being yeah. brought in, what's being invited in. A little birdie told me that some of the staff that used to prepare the Sally House for these ghost hunts in the evenings, there's evidence of this supposedly, if you go with a UV light and luminol into the Sally House, they were marking blood sigils and trying to summon things into the house to make it more haunted. Apparently, this is alleged. This is just from the local rumor mill. They have since left. Since they have left, I will say the activity has died down a lot. But the handful of times I've been there, crazy stuff has always happened. So I still think people should go there. Just watch out for the black mold. It's going to make your chest feel heavy, your head hurt. Mm-hmm. Wear a respirator if you need to, and keep an eye out for hornets in the basement.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, even though, like, obviously people can invite energy and, like, obviously if a lot of people are asking for the spirit, they're going to bring something. And obviously the sigils, that's crazy. But I feel like the black mold could play a big part in it too. Cause like, if you breathe yes. enough, you get sick, you hallucinate. Like you
people enter the home and they talk about, you know, the heavy feeling in their chest and their head starts to hurt. And they take that as a sign of a malevolent haunting.
It's the malevolent mold.
Yeah. It's the malevolent mold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I've played enough Dungeons and Dragons to know that mold can be very malevolent.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a little bit on the Sally House. First time it's I was there. Yeah. We caught a shadow figure on camera. It was really mm-hmm. cool. I've caught EVPs that sound like growls almost that I couldn't really explain. There was one day in the basement, I heard a woman's voice in the basement, and I went upstairs to my friend I was there with, and I was like, were you talking? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay. I heard something. Mm. So
you should totally, I don't know if you've listened to Astonishing Legends. They did like a four-parter on the Sally House, and it was really, really interesting. So
yeah, I'll have to check it out because I'm always eager to consume more Sally House information and just I love talking about it and sharing that there's some truth behind it, but a lot of the stuff you're going to see, especially on the Atchison website, is fake. Still haunted though.
Yeah, I plan on when I go visit Ivy, I do want to see the Sally House just once, but I also don't want to stank like mold. So I'm like, oh God, I'll wear a full suit. Like
it's the worst in the basement. And honestly, the basement is usually the least active spot. There's a spot on the floor that they try to call this like evil demonic portal, but it looks like it looks like a paint spill.
And was that the pentagram apparently?
It was supposedly a pentagram because a witch lived there. That's kind of true, but like the woman from everything that I have heard, people that have met her and talked to her, she's super nice, super sweet. And I think it's just a little bit of that like satanic panic, a witch lived here. She must have been doing sacrifices in the basement type of situation.
I'm having fun listening to this. So, ladies, so you guys travel around for some of your material and for your content. So instead of, I'm going to kind of turn the tables on you a bit. Instead of talking about a ghostly adventure, how about tell us about a misadventure on one of your travels?
I have a, yes, we have a misadventure. So we are in Salem, Massachusetts during peak.
I knew it would be Salem.
During peak October. Oh, it is busy. It is crowded. It's hard awful. To find a toilet. Me and Hannah have to pee our pants. We finally, half the porta potties don't have toilet paper. There's doo-doo everywhere. We finally find a public restroom. The door is broken. The door is broken. It's wet. It's stinky. There's a giant crack in the door, and the door doesn't close. So
we had to stand in front of it and hold it for each other. And the worst thing is, everything was like titanium, so everything was like freezing cold. So if you touch the toilet, it's like a jolt of just like
so cold, I'm just like,
wet sadness.
I'm watching this like sliver of like Hannah's body, like a foot away from me, like covering the crack in the door as I'm trying to pee, and I got too nervous and I couldn't. We switch roles. Hannah goes in. I'm like holding the door for dear life, blocking the crack with my body so people don't see Hannah peeing when they walk in.
And again, it's a titanium toilet. So when I was peeing, it sounded like a waterfall of gunshots. I was like, oh my God, it's so loud. Everyone can hear me. So in that moment, Ivy and I, we got a lot closer, even though we're as close as you can be. But that I knew you were going to say the toilet because the first thing I thought about was the Salem porta potties because it's a small town, right? Salem's not big. And tons of people go there in October. Like, we wanted to go once to see. I was like, never again. And obviously, some shops don't have bathrooms, and you have to be a customer at the restaurants to, like, use the bathroom.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. So the streets line with porta potties, and I'm just like, I'm not using a porta potty. You can't pay me. And then we find this, like, titanium hell. So, I mean, at that point, I just started walking into restaurants confidently, and they're like, hi. And I'm like, hi, I'm just going back to my table. I run to the bathroom and I run out. Like, couldn't do that anymore.
Moral of the story is avoid Salem during the month of October unless you want to be partially dehydrated so you don't have to worry about finding a restroom. That's my advice.
That's a good travel tip.
Yep.
I actually almost got killed in Salem. For okay. real.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's worse. So this happened Chris is from Massachusetts, and we had gone up to visit his family. We had just returned from South Korea. I was about 7 months pregnant with my son, and we went to tour Salem. And as we're driving, we come to this intersection. I do not see a stoplight. I don't see a signal. I don't see anything anywhere. So we're just kind of driving through, and this tour bus comes from the other direction and is this close to pretty much smashing your car. So if my husband hadn't floored it, then all three of us would have been killed or seriously injured.
Oh my God. I'm glad he floored it. That's scary. Especially like big, those tour buses are big.
They're huge.
Those are beasts.
And I'm glad that you're here. Where's the stoplight? And I was like, where's the damn signal?
Wow.
Well, we're glad that you're here and we're talking right now because that's scary. My God.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I will never forget it. And so I almost died in Salem. And it was past life thing.
That's a misfortune.
We're talking all this smack about Salem. It's just like, oh, Salem.
Salem is pretty like Salem, awesome. But and it is full of history and amazing things. So
just watch out for tour buses and just don't go to the bathroom.
Especially not in a titanium hell. Okay. What's some other travel tips you can give us for people who want to travel and seek out other paranormal hotspots? What would be a couple of your top tips?
Always do your own research.
Always
do your own research on locations, because unfortunately a lot of places like to be dishonest. So that's my biggest tip, is know what you're getting into, know what their rules are, obviously like their hours. Do they allow ghost hunts? Can you book a ghost hunt?
Oh yeah.
Always check for stuff like that, because
And don't get scammed. If it's like 500 for a night, that's crazy. Like,
if they are selling unlimited tickets for the ghost hunt, also might be a scam. I have gone to ghost hunts. I don't do a lot of them like in Kansas City because a lot of them it's money grabs and you show up with 50 other people and it's loud and crowded and you're like, I can't ghost hunt in these conditions. Business. So stuff to look out for.
Yeah, I guess well, that's like the paranormal
down by
side.
Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Be careful when you go to Leavenworth.
Oh.
Dude, me being into like the history and the paranormal aspect, I was trying to go and do the tour at the actual Fort Leavenworth, not the penitentiary, but the actual military installment, because you get on base and they're giving you the tour and all these soldiers will tell you about all the haunted shit that's going on with them. And you get a walk on the actual like stagecoach tracks from when the stagecoaches came through when they're all moving west.
That's so cool.
On the Oregon Trail, really cool. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And and they have it like blocked off and everything. But we screwed up when we did it and we turned in the wrong entrance.
Oh.
And it was dark. And let me tell you how easy it is to pucker and go to the bathroom when you are pulling into the parking lot in front of the fort and the spotlights come on you and about 50 people with assault rifles circle your car.
Oh, shit.
Because we inadvertently drove up to the front gates of the prison.
Oops. I had something similar happen. The Glore Psychiatric Museum in St. Joe, Missouri.
Yeah.
It's connected to and right next, there's a tunnel underneath that's connected to, it's like blocked off and everything, but a live prison that's next to it.
Oh, no.
And I was ghost hunting there one night. Right. We're walking around the exterior of the, you know, the museum and we're like taking pictures and stuff, whatever. And prison security guards come up and are like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're just here for a ghost hunt at the museum. And they're like, well, you can't be on these grounds, da da da, and they like yell at us, and we go scampering away. We were so scared.
Oh my god!
they didn't even direct you to where you were supposed to go.
They told us just like to go back inside. Basically, is what we were told, and we go back in there.
Oh my god.
The woman working there apologized and she was like, oh, I should have told you. They don't always like people poking around, you know, outside, because the fence for the prison, I mean, it's pretty close. They're right by each other. So beware if you go to the Glore Psychiatric Museum and it's nighttime. Watch out for the prison.
Or Leavenworth. Don't turn into the wrong driveway.
All right. Let me write that down. Don't drive in the wrong entrance. Don't walk outside the prison. Got it. I will not do these things.
They do not have a sense of humor.
Nope.
That's scary. But if you want to segue back into the travel, so Ivy pretty much covered the paranormal side, but for me, the first thing I thought of was I drive a lot to these places. I drive hours. Mm-hmm. So I always have like an emergency kit in my car. So I think that's kind of important for travelers. I always have like food and water. I have a blanket. I have extra charging. I have like a air pump. Trying to think what else. I have a little like build it shovel if it snows. I have like hand warmers, all these like little like camping stuff I have in the back of my car because I've had to use it. Like, for example, we went to Sweet Springs Sanitarium, and if you've been there, there's no cell phone service. You are in the middle of the country. There's nothing. And we had to go to the grocery store, which is like miles and miles away, and we're going to have a cookout. And we got these cans of beans because, you know, what kind of cookout without beans, right? And everyone's like, we don't have a can opener. And I was like, I have a can opener. So I took out my travel can opener from my from my travel pack. So, like, I always have these, like, little camping things on me, right? You never know, right? So always emergency preparedness is key.
The beans. That was Chris Vaughn's idea, wasn't it?
It was the beans.
I thought so.
Shout out to my other bestie, Chris.
Shout out to Chris Vaughn. We love you. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having beans.
They were good.
The beans are good. We just know what happens afterwards.
Maybe don't eat them like.
It makes the audio review a lot more difficult.
Yes, yes. Don't eat them just before you're ghost hunting.
Or you can say, like, oh, it was the ghost, not me.
It was a like, demonic growl. What? It was a demon.
Is that a smell of sulfur?
Smell of death.
Yeah.
I like how we come on the show and we just start talking about like peeing in a porta potty and farting.
Oh, believe me, this is not the worst. This is not as bad as it gets. Trust me.
Oh no. Me and Ivy, we always like when we do a sound check, we're like pee pee poo poo. So it's like this is like a normal like podcast.
So, to summarize the travel tips so far, do your own research. Don't eat beans just before you ghost hunt. Bring a can opener and
bring a flashlight. Know what the toilet situation is
and bring a flashlight. Good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's actually important. The toilet situation. Because I've been to places where they have plumbing, and I've been to places. I went to the Conjuring House, and at the time that I went, they had plumbing. But previously, my friend went, and let me. It's the middle of winter. It's cold in Rhode Island. Yeah. Their bathroom wasn't working, so they had a porta potty outside in like 10-degree weather. So you'd be freezing your ass off. So always know like the power situations and the bathroom situations. Those are all important.
Bring wipes.
So, yes. Me personally, I don't go to the bathroom at a haunted location.
That explains a lot.
No spooky dookies for you?
No spooky dookies. No polter peepees.
No polter peepees and spooky dookies.
No helping hands to wipe. So
it's always nice to have a helping hand.
No high fives, no reach unders, no. I always have lived. I have, and that's why. So I always go right before.
Oh God, does someone help you?
No. So I go right before. I stop at a gas station, usually right before I get there, and then I hightail it back to the gas station as soon as I'm done. But we investigated this place in Iowa as a theater. And one of the reports in it is something hangs out in the guy's bathroom. So I was in there going,
Hashtag.
But I was in there going to the bathroom before the investigation started because we were actually doing like a public event there before we did the investigation. And I was in there going, and every toilet all along the wall started flushing like someone was walking down there hitting the handles. I could not get done quick enough to get the heck back out of there.
That's just irresponsible waste of water on the ghost part.
Yeah. Why don't they think of this thing?
Rude.
That is rude of them.
You know, it's a lot cheaper to knock than it is to flush 7 potties.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
the ghost could have just said, like, hey, like, what's up? I'm here. Like, they could have just let you know that way, too. I mean,
he could have, like, hey, buddy, I'm here, too.
Yeah, they could have, the ghost could have probably just raised his head up and peek over the urinal at you.
Yeah, do the number one or number two, you know?
In a similar sense.
You know, they are very inconsiderate when you think about it because they do waste a lot of water. Yeah. They suck a lot of electricity. Mm-hmm. You know, they are very not environmentally friendly.
They don't pay rent.
Your batteries.
No, they don't. They just be there and they use all the money. But similarly, I went to this place and apparently the women's restroom was haunted. And like when you're washing your hands, some dude would just show up in the mirror. And I was like, show up in the mirror. Do it. I dare you. He didn't show up. So I guess he was scared. But I was just
intimidated
like,
him.
Last thing I want is to be naked and afraid while I'm peeing, and like some guy opens the door and someone just standing there. That's the last thing I need.
I've often wondered what, and I have actually asked people this: what is it about hauntings in women's restrooms? What is it about that? I've actually asked this.
Yeah.
I mean, perverts in life, perverts in death.
Perverts in afterlife. Yeah.
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 Well,
or maybe they want to continue with the potty humor.
To be fair, boys always find there's like some secret mystical thing that happens in the women's bathroom. That's why they always go in couples or in groups. Mm-hmm. There's like has to be some kind of like Masonic group type gathering thing going on.
You do our rituals
bathrooms.
In there.
Well,
that's why
yeah, there is.
Together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is correct.
Do you really want to know what we do in the
girls'
restroom?
No, I don't want to know. I could give two shits.
We do summoning stuff.
It's what we
want to find
two
out.
Shits.
Yeah.
Exactly two or maybe three.
Exactly two. If you really want to know, you can come. You can come for next week's sacrifice circle. So.
Oh, sweet. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. Awesome. But I mean, so that can play a part of it. You know, they're just wanting to find the answers to what goes on in the mystical women's bathroom. Or it could just be that, you know, maybe they had some emotional connection with where they connected with their, I don't know.
It wasn't a bathroom before, but it is now, and they're kind of
moaning.
Ivy sounds way more intelligent on this than I do. I'm talking about little boys being perverts, and she's like, you know, it could have been a different type of room.
True. It could have been. Or maybe it didn't have a restroom at that point.
Maybe they're really old timey and they're like, what is this device their poop is going into? Maybe they're just curious, you know?
Yeah. Or it's like a Moaning Myrtle situation where she died in the bathroom.
Moaning Myrtle.
Every time you're in the bathroom, you hear that and it's like, oh my God, Myrtle.
It's like in Australia how there's like snakes in the toilets. In the toilets.
Oh my God. One time when I lived with my parents, I'll never forget, I opened the lid and like a fucking, a frog jumped out and I was like, oh my God. So that gave me like a heart attack. What if the frog got me? Terrifying.
You would have lived.
So scary. No, I wouldn't.
I'm probably not. Training from any commentary on this part. I'm not going there.
I'm having a blast. This is great. We're not talking about paranormal at all. This is real life stuff, kids.
Yeah, this is real life survival situations.
I mean, seriously, there is something to be said about being careful where you are when it comes to going on any trip, whether it's a public ghost hunt or whether it's a private ghost hunt with you and your team or what have you. There's just something to be said with knowing the best way to get from point A to point B, traveling, knowing where all the gas stations are, pee and poop. And
and also just like personal safety. Like I always remind people, like humans are more dangerous than like any like ghost paranormal or demon you're going to run into. So also just personal safety. I know people that have gone to haunted locations to stay the night, and the Sally House. Oh my gosh. Speaking of the Sally House, when you're there, it's really important to make sure curtains are closed, like door did lock behind you, because people will see you go in and they will try peering inside, knocking on the door. We had a group of like college age boys, and it was just me and my one friend, two young women. And they were trying they like wanted us to like let them in or something. And, you know, because we're like, oh, you guys ghost hunting, like we hear it's haunted, just let us inside for a little bit. And we're like, no, no. So just always be aware of that element when you're exploring haunted places.
Yeah. And always be cautious if you're going to places that are more, I wouldn't say abandoned, like places that are really large and but they aren't like working, kind of like a Crescent Sanitarium in Pennsylvania. I know like on big places like that, people do tend to live in, if they're homeless, they do tend to live in there for shelter. So always be careful, like obviously be cautious, like you don't want to mess with anyone, they don't want to mess with you. And also I guess another personal safety, things are falling apart in a lot of places like Crescent and St. Albans, like be careful where you step and then kind of know how to get out. Because those places are huge.
St. Albans is a freaking maze.
And I've gotten lost in there multiple times. Yes. There's no power.
Yeah, there is no power in St. Albans. We're fortunate that they do have working restrooms.
Yes, thank God.
Thank you for that. But I commend the volunteer crew that works at St. Albans, like Marcel and also the docents that are there. They are there purely for the love of the building. They're not getting paid for anything at all to work
there. I think that's important. We need people like that. Like obviously us too, we all like history, just to keep historical places running, because I know a lot of places get knocked down to put like apartments up, and that's ridiculous. Like, it's nice to preserve places for history and like learn about the place, not just like knock it down and build like a grand mall over it.
So what is a bucket list travel for you guys that you have not even been to yet? What's next? Mm-hmm. What is a ghoul trip?
I have two for this because one is in the country, one's out of the country. In the U.S., I really want to go to the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh, hey! Yeah. That sounds fun.
Outside of the U.S., I want to go to the Paris Catacombs.
Oh, yes. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep, those are my top two.
I think for me, in the U.S., I've always wanted to go to Alcatraz. And I think out of the U.S., I don't know. I want to maybe Romania to see where Vlad the Impaler, like his childhood, like all the museums and everything, because I find him very fascinating. So that'd be really cool. Or just go into like Scotland, looking at like the old like Gothic style churches and architecture.
Mm-hmm. Scotland has some good haunts. I went to Edinburgh and checked out some of them a few years
ago.
Edinburgh
is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really want to go there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, what is the best way for people to, A, find your show? Like, where can they find it? And then, two, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
So, the platforms that we're listened to on the most, we're on almost all podcast platforms, all that we know of. We haven't had any tell us there's one we're not on. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Amazon Music are some of our tops. Just search for Ghouls Trip, Paranormal Podcast. Our little logos, it's kind of like a like Goosebumps style font, and it says Ghouls Trip, and there's a little tiny
it's us walking.
You guys are so cute. It's so cute.
Thank you. Find us on social media. On Instagram at Ghouls Trip Podcast, Twitter at Ghouls Trip Pod. We're on Facebook. How do they find us on Patreon, Hannah?
Oh, if you just go to Patreon and type in Ghouls Trip Podcast, we recently launched that. And we have episodes come out every Monday of the week publicly, but on Patreon, you get an extra episode and you get like little goodies when you join. So you can find us on Patreon there. And if you need to contact us, we're mostly on Facebook and Instagram, since they're kind of meshed, so you can message us there, or ghoulstrippodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh.
I love how
did you like that? I was trying to get like
microphone just to
trying
like,
to get sultry.
That sound, yeah,
exactly.
I should do
ghost hunting, paranormal, and ASMR. So, you know, I got all of my bases covered.
Yes. If you listen to paranormal Ghost Trip, ASMR. You get a lot of really great Hannah ASMR.
Yeah, ooh. I do. And like, you know what? It's relaxing. If you want to fall asleep to my shrill voice, listen to Ghouls Trip Podcast on all major streaming platforms.
I actually do fall asleep to podcasts, and the best part is when I hear those podcasts in my dreams, and the people that's cool. in my dreams start to speak like the podcast. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did you get that information?
I don't think people want to hear Hannah and I while they're dreaming. Oh, no.
Especially us, like, cackling and being like, me pretty girl, me want chips. Like, no one wants to hear that happening.
Well, you don't think they're going to enjoy listening to us talking about toilets and pooping?
Of course they are.
I mean, a good like 10 minutes of this episode was potty humor. So
this is the best. Tactics.
Yeah,
the pee in paranormal is for potty. So
exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And also remember TikTok. That's where we find your stalkers. Hey!
Oh, speaking of that, we also have a TikTok Ghouls Trip Podcast. If you want to see, so I don't know how to use podcast. Well, let me repeat that. I don't know how to use TikTok. I'm old and decrepit. So Ivy makes all of our videos, and they're wonderful. And she's very aesthetic, and you know, so. Shout out to Ivy for being us the aesthetic part and me being the old grouchy part.
You're the grandma. I'm
the grandma.
The tech savvy youth. Yeah.
Yeah. She does all the artwork and like that kind of stuff. I do all the outreach and the traveling and interviews and like that kind of stuff.
Because Hannah is very much an extrovert and I am a huge introvert. So it works.
We work together.
Hannah reaches out to people for us to get on podcasts like this because I'm too scared.
This is so heartwarming.
Yeah. Well, now that you've been here, the door is open. So you don't have to.
So, like, pee pee poo poo potty part two?
Is that what you're asking? You never know.
Number two.
Maybe we'll come and talk inappropriately on your show.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Fun. Yeah, because we're actually... Oh, yeah, sorry. We're actually thinking about, we're having like a lineup of people, because usually just me and Ivy on the podcast, but we do want to reach out and do special episodes like this. Obviously, like you guys, we have a few other people lined up that we're interested in talking to. So in the future, stay tuned.
Sounds like a plan. It's a date.
Thank you. And thank you guys for having us on here. It's
been fun. It's our pleasure. Enjoy talking. You guys have been awesome.
Thank you. I told you it'd definitely be a fly from the seat of our pants type of night.
And we did. We
this was great. This was so great.
Yeah, because obviously I know Whitney because we've met several times in person. But Brandon's my first time meeting you. I knew we'd get along from the moment I came in this, and you guys were talking about stalkers, and I was just like, "Hello, what's going on?"
Stalkers, you say?
We have some of the most colorful pre-show conversations. I've ever noticed.
He's even caught, I mean, because sometimes on StreamYard he would pop in and he would put me on the, you know, on the screen, and I would not have known it because I have a different window up and I'm listening to YouTube and probably singing along because that's how I hype myself up. And he, and then I flip back and Brandon's just sitting there like I'm like, oh, hi.
Well, I can see everybody before I actually let him on. So
he does.
Although you have no room to talk because you busted somebody taking a drink of beer as you brought him on.
I did. Had to prepare.
That's why you have to disguise it and wear, like, you know, a festive mug. So no one knows what you're drinking.
I don't hide it.
No one does it. Be yourself. Yeah. I like that.
we are ourselves, and you guys were just awesome. And Ivy, it's such a pleasure to finally meet you. And Hannah, I will see you very soon.
Oh, for sure, we got stuff coming.
I know I'll see you at Enigma Cons, baby.
That sounded very creepy.
Oh, stalker? What?
Yeah, Whitney's actually. Yeah, we're actually stalking each other. I'll see you very soon too at Enigma Con.
Enigma Cons.
Ivy and Brandon are like, okay, we gotta go now.
Yeah, I gotta go. Bye. Like,
okay, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Whitney, go ahead and close out the show.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, our pleasure. Yes, Lord and Master. Oh, our pleasure. Thank you all, Para family, for tuning in tonight. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please remember to take a second and rate us 5 stars. Yay. Or leave us a review. Please leave us a review because it helps us to get the word out about the show. And we want to hear your feedback to help make the show better. Right, Brandon?
That is right, Whitney. And if you're an Android listener, you can follow us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or simply say, Alexa, play the Paranormal podcast.
Why just are you like sounding that? You just sounded like Stanley Kowalski and from Streetcar Named Desire.
Sweet, that's what I'm trying to do. Alexa! And she plays it. And she'll play it. She'll be like, okay, I'll turn this on right now. But anyways, I need to put new batteries in my Alexa, apparently.
Yeah. Why? Because you're yelling at the poor girl.
Probably. Alexa! She doesn't respond to me half the time anyways.
She's like, oh my God, what does he want?
Try saying please next time.
Oh, Alexa, please!
That would make so much more sense.
I think it would too. Yeah.
But all right. Anyway. Well, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you want more Para Unity, or you would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to reach out to us on our Facebook or Instagram. And as always, if you want to help out the show, because we always appreciate it, you can go to the website and buy us a coffee. Because I need a little bit more caffeine intake apparently tonight. But as always, my name is Brandon.
And I'm Whitney. And you have been listening to the best place to bring your paranormal family, potty humor and all, a little closer together. We are the Para Unity Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Good night.